I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells.
About residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there.
And the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
You love free, and at Ameris Bank, so do we. That's why we're proud to offer worry-free, hassle-free Ameris Bank free checking. Manage your money your way with convenient access to digital, mobile, and telephone banking, all with no monthly service fee or minimum balance requirements. At Ameris Bank, we're with you. For more information or to open an account, visit our local bankers in person or online at amerisbank.com/free checking. Other fees such as overdraft fees may apply. Ameris Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
For Monday, July 26th, 2021, it's The Brief from WABE. I'm Emil Moffitt. The largest city on the Georgia coast is reinstating a mask requirement to slow the spread of COVID-19. Savannah Mayor Van Johnson announced the move during a press conference earlier today, citing a rise in coronavirus infections. The mayor says the order requires people to wear masks when indoors with people who aren't immediate family, regardless of vaccination status. The city's previous mask mandate, one of the first instituted in the state, was allowed to expire in June. The rolling average of newly confirmed COVID-19 cases in the state has been rising steadily in recent weeks to levels not seen since late March. Forecasters are warning Metro Atlanta residents to stay hydrated, take a lot of breaks if they're working outdoors, and find shade, with temperatures peaking in the 90s throughout the week. The National Weather Service could issue a heat advisory across the metro later this week. Sid King is a meteorologist in Peachtree City.
Our warmest days are expected to be Thursday and Friday, where our afternoon highs are expected to get up into the upper 90s in central Georgia and in the mid-90s in north Georgia.
King says a parked car in direct sunlight can reach deadly temperatures in less than an hour and is warning against leaving pets or kids in parked cars, even for a few minutes. Georgia lawmakers are set to wrap up public hearings this week about how they plan to redraw the state's voting districts. Roxanne Scott has more.
Politicians have been holding town halls across the state to hear residents' concerns about the process. But maps haven't been produced yet. Because of COVID and interference from the Trump administration, the census data needed has been delayed. That's set to change in just a matter of weeks. The Census Bureau will release redistricting data by mid-August. Advocates say the public hearings are premature and would rather have a chance to comment once the maps are produced. Hearings this week will take place in Brunswick, Macon, and Albany. A virtual event is scheduled for July 30th. Lawmakers have not set a time on when the special session will happen later this year to vote on the maps. Roxanne Scott, WABE News.
A national moratorium on evictions is set to expire at the end of the week. In Georgia, there are millions of dollars in federal rental assistance still available, and local governments are trying to spend it. But WABE's Stephanie Stokes found many are not following a key federal rule that housing advocates say could get more money to people in need.
Miranda Gordon has barely left her house in the last year.
I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm here 24/7.
So are her four children. They've all been together in this suburban home in South DeKalb County for the entire pandemic. Gordon says that turned out to be a blessing.
It brought us closer. We're here all the time with each other. When I do something, they're with me. Every time you see me, you see them.
They were in the middle of their own crisis at the start of 2020. Gordon had to move her children out of an abusive situation. They just settled in this house when the other worldwide crisis began.
I think it happened for a reason in my family. Scary, of course, but I feel like we had to go through that to get where we're at today.
She says they're ready for a new chapter now, after they overcome one more obstacle. Gordon's landlord filed an eviction earlier this year. With the pandemic, her job in human resources became remote, but part-time. She paid some of her rent with the help of churches, and she says her landlord was understanding.
I don't know what happened, but I get it. You know, you had to do his job.
She doesn't get what came next, though. After the eviction notice, she qualified for federal rental assistance through DeKalb County. The program and Gordon together offered to pay her landlord $10,000 in back rent. And he said no.
And I was just confused that he was getting the past due plus 2 additional months of rent. And he declined it. So I don't know.
There are more cases like hers. Lindsay Siegel is director of housing advocacy at Atlanta Legal Aid, which is helping DeKalb County with rental assistance. She says 15% of landlords have rejected their offers so far.
The difficulty is you can't force the landlord to take the money.
And the other difficulty is DeKalb County is one of several local governments that won't consider the next option, to give money to the tenant, even though the federal government has asked them to. Diane Yentel is president of the National Low Income Housing Coalition.
It's very clear in the guidance from the White House that they expect program administrators to use direct-to-tenant assistance when landlords refuse to participate.
She says when a landlord refuses to participate, it already slows down the process. And if a program won't pay the tenant, the outcome just becomes worse.
It then has the result of leaving that tenant without any assistance at all.
Yentel has heard some programs worry tenants may misuse funds, but she notes that worry doesn't come up in relief efforts for people with higher incomes.
There's less reluctance to give cash directly to homeowners, knowing that they will pay their bills, than there is to do the same with low-income renters.
If programs want some assurance, she says they can have tenants sign a form promising to spend the money right. DeKalb County wouldn't comment for this story, and neither would Gordon's landlord. According to Legal Aid, the disagreement came down to when she would move out. She agreed to, within 60 days. The landlord insisted on 30. The National Apartment Association says other landlords, which they call housing providers, might reject federal money because local programs add requirements, like to not evict tenants. To Jody Applewhite with the association, that approach is misguided.
The grantees should focus on making sure that the money reaches to the housing providers who have gone months without any payments.
DeKalb's local program also has a condition on its federal funds. It only pays 60% of past due rent. Gordon made up the rest with her own money. Now, the county can only offer her a consolation prize, according to Siegel with Legal Aid.
Once she is able to find a new place to rent, she can submit that new lease to the court and have 2 months covered.
That amount will be a lot less than the rent she owes at her current home. And it also means Gordon has to find new housing, which is difficult with the eviction case against her. She's still trying.
I feel it's all going to come into play sooner or later. I just got to be patient.
She's working full time now. Eventually, she would like to buy a house for her and her children. With the debt she owes to her landlord, she realizes that new chapter may be farther off. Stephanie Stokes, WABE News.
The commercial space industry has had a moment this summer with billionaires sending themselves to space, but it's also drawing attention to how the government manages the industry. Right now, the FAA must both regulate and promote commercial space. As Emma Hurt reports, this dual mandate is controversial on a remote Georgia island.
Little Cumberland Island is largely undeveloped, thick with saw palmettos and live oaks. The few dozen homes are only accessible by boat. Large trees are protected. If that means you can't build a house with a nice view, that's the deal. Kevin Lang is vice president of the Little Cumberland Homeowners Association.
If there's any conflict between my or my family's use of the island and the natural environment of the island, the natural environment of the island wins.
But years ago, the local Camden County government decided it wants to build a spaceport on the mainland to help diversify its economy. So Lang and others began talking to the FAA, which issues spaceport licenses, to protest the idea of rockets flying over and possibly exploding on their island.
We felt like once the FAA understood that there was an active community on this barrier island 5 miles downrange, that the FAA would just decide this is not going to be acceptable, it's not going to fit.
And yet the FAA seems poised to issue a spaceport license to Camden County because the county is proposing one possible flight path that meets the agency's safety guidelines. And this is a problem, says Oregon Democratic Congressman Peter DeFazio. He heads the House Transportation Committee.
Everybody wants a spaceport, and everybody can't have a spaceport. It's not safe.
He says the FAA needs to have discretion about whether problematic spaceport proposals should go forward. The issue, he says, is the government is also charged with promoting the commercial space industry. Wayne Monteith leads the FAA's commercial space division. He testified at a recent congressional hearing and explained the agency's dual mandate.
To ensure safety while also allowing these companies to innovate and grow and continue to lead on a global stage.
But Congressman DeFazio says the industry has outgrown that policy.
There needs to be discrimination in terms of where spaceports are located to minimally impact the environment, minimally impact the citizens surrounding it.
He's working on a bill to change that, but the FAA is set to decide on Camden County's license this month. Emma Hurt, WABE News.
That's it for The Brief. You can find more local news at our website, wabe.org. Lily Oppenheimer is our producer. Our editor is Kathleen Quillian. And for Jim Burris, I'm Emil Moffitt. Thanks for listening.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Local, state, national politics. WABE and NPR have the coverage you need. I'm Jim Burris, host of WABE's All Things Considered. Whether it's on the air at 90.1, streaming online, or connecting through our mobile app, WABE keeps you on top of election 2024 in what's sure to be a pivotal year in politics. And for candidates and ballot information, visit our election hub at wabe.org/election2024.